that there are some people in this world that did not tune in to the Alliance Vlog Podcast. Shame on you!
Shame on you! My name is Ella Indy, and I'm one half of the NWA Women's World Tag Team Champion.
And I'm Kinsey Page, the other half of the NWA World Women's Tag Team Champion.
And you better go listen to the Alliance Vlog. What is it called?
Podcast, period.
Or you're ugly. Period. Your power approved.
You are listening to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com. I'm Jay Cal, and I've been efforting to get more content to you, our audio listener. Of course, we do live streams every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on our YouTube channel at the Alliance Blog. But if you cannot make those engagements, you're missing out on some, what I like to think, pretty interesting conversations. Last Tuesday, I had the opportunity to speak with Paul Pratt, also known as Poyle Del Mar, the manager of Champions, Paul is the editor of the NWA magazine. We took some time to talk about all things NWA, including the deal that landed them on the CW network. I really enjoy speaking with Paul, whether he's Paul or dressed up as Poyle. Always entertaining and always insightful, respectful, and I feel like is a great ambassador for the National Wrestling Alliance. And I think if you listen to this podcast and you don't like Paul Pratt after this, I can't help you out on that one. Listen up after this. Times are tough now, guys, and it's no joke out here. That's why I'm very proud to be partnering with the Upside app. They're leveling the playing field, guys. They're giving you opportunities to earn cash back on purchases for groceries, purchases for gasoline, purchases for food. These are the things we all spend our money on all the time. I believe in Upside. I use Upside weekly. My lifetime earnings is over $408, and you too can be earning cash back on your Philips, your groceries, or your eating out experiences just by signing up, and it's free. By using my invite code, JASON75338, that's JASON75338, you'll earn $5 cash back on your first fill-up. Use the link in the video description or download the app, but make sure you use that invite code JASON75338 and make money by using the Upside app. The editor of the NWA magazine, you might also know Paul as Poyle Del Mar, the most vivacious manager in all of the National Wrestling Alliance. And we are doing the pre-party today here on Tuesday ahead of what's supposed to be a best of, a recap, a remember this episode of NWA Power. Paul, how are you today?
I'm doing great. What a gorgeous t-shirt you have on. What
yeah, right?
And t-shirt.
Where can people get this at, Paul?
Oh my gosh. That appears to be the lovely and talented Poyle Del Mar on your shirt. They could probably hit up Poyle Del Mar on all socials to find out how to get that t-shirt.
I wear it with pride. I wore it at Pride, to be honest. And yeah, it's a pretty dope shirt.
I love it.
Of course, a lot of talk today. I know it's not exactly 100% pertaining to the National Wrestling Alliance, but I think it is noteworthy that the biggest professional wrestling company in the world just announced that they will now be exclusive in some capacity to a streaming app. It sounds very familiar. It's like the NWA was like a trailblazer when it came to putting their content on a streaming platform that has something that hadn't been done before exclusively with the NWA now on the CW app. The WWE just announced today that Monday Night Raw will become the exclusive property of Netflix going forward in 2025. I gotta think, Paul, that's kind of affirming that maybe the NWA heading to the CW app was the right choice? You know, I know you can't speak in official capacity from William Patrick Corgan, but as somebody who's towing the company line and somebody who represents the National Wrestling Alliance, what are your thoughts on this big news for the WWE?
Man, I think it must be terrible for them that that cocaine spot got them removed from their partnership and got thrust over onto Netflix. Can you imagine? So I can't speak for the National Wrestling Alliance as a whole, but what I will say that is that streaming platforms are quite clearly the way of the future. Most people, as I think I mentioned on a previous time visiting you, I haven't owned a television set since before the pandemic. So every single thing I watch is online, either through a streaming platform or some other location where I'm able to access my favorite television networks, where I'm able to access my favorite televised professional wrestling. So Netflix, of course, is a huge streaming platform. And if there was any promotion in the world today that was launching with the partnership that WWE has just announced, that would be heralded as a huge victory for that company. Obviously, WWE feels that this is going to be very financially rewarding for them. They feel that this is a great place to have their content. And for us at the National Wrestling Alliance, when we had the opportunity to partner with the CW and make our flagship program, the National Wrestling Alliance NWA Power, available to users of the CW and their related app, we were excited and ecstatic as well.
Now, of course, it goes without saying that, we're just about, 2 weeks away before new content arrives on the CW yep. app. A lot of people are excited about it. There are a few people who, I got to tell you, Paul, they're feeling left out. And I know you've heard it. We even briefly talked about it last week. There is no official update yet on international broadcasting partners for the NWA. But can you speak to that audience that is feeling a little left out right now? Because I know that there's some people who are feeling a little left out.
Yeah, quite left out. I think some of them. You know, we are very aware that one of the beautiful things that we've had through our relationship with YouTube is the opportunity to build global audiences. And YouTube is available globally, and that has made our product available globally. So we've grown tremendous support outside the United States, and it's something that is quite important to us. You know, we want to continue to be able to grow that. This inability to be accessed directly through the CW Network app outside the United States, I think, is something that's a growing pain for this. I certainly think that I know for a fact that we are working very diligently internally to try to find out how best to tackle this problem, how to make our programs accessible outside of the United States. And anybody who caught me on the recent, my recent interview with British Broadcasting Corporation, probably heard me say towards the end of it, I would never outright suggest anybody get a VPN and find methods and means around the rights, you know, to access things within the United States. But I will tell you, having not had a television set for 3 years, I found some pretty interesting ways to access my wrestling content just on the internet. As much as we would like to have a formal way that our fans can do that, we don't at the moment. And as soon as we do, we will make that known to everybody. It is something that is being worked on. I got a text message about it this very morning. Like, that's what I woke up to. So it's at the forefront of our minds.
Paul, do you mind fielding some of the comments that are coming in?
Of course.
Okay. So the first one is Chris Drummond says, and Chris identifies as the villain of the NWA for various reasons, but he wants to say, was it a fumble not clearing international before we got to this point?
I don't think it's a fumble at all. You know, what you have to look at is sometimes there will be, you know, a step back to take steps forward. And I think overall, in the minds of most, gaining a relationship with the CW is a huge advance. So the fact that we are still trying to figure out the technicalities of how international audiences can watch, I don't consider that a fumble in the least. I appreciate, Chris, I also appreciate the fact that you are a consistent supporter of NWA, often present both in our live streams on YouTube as well as here, amongst other places. And your criticisms of us are things that when criticisms are within reason, they are a way for us to help quality control our own product. And so I do see what you're saying here, but this is something that it's, in our eyes, such a massive step forward from being available on YouTube to being associated and affiliated with a top 20 television network in the United States, that sometimes you'll take a short-term loss to get the long-term gain.
And so, and I mean, I guess that's something we have to consider, right? Like, as harsh as it sounds, and I don't want to say it this way, but it's like you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. Mm-hmm. It's a growing pain. That's a necessity for the NWA to grow, obviously, but the NWA has identified, like, hey, this isn't going to work long term for our global fans, and like you just said, that they're looking to come to a resolution with that. Something that our pal Fiona said was why wasn't this considered sooner? Was it something that just kind of got mixed up in the sauce, or is it something that you just said, hey, you know, we have to get to this CW deal and we'll consider the repercussions after that launches?
I think that is something that I can't really speak to, why it wasn't okay. considered sooner.
That's fair.
Because I wasn't part of the original planning phase of our transition over to the CW. I don't think that many of us who are in the position that we're in, where we're able to kind of talk with some level of knowledge about sort of what's going on behind the scenes. But I will also say that I don't think that we necessarily had a full understanding of what the limitations would be necessarily moving over. It's quite often, for most of us in life, we don't recognize the shortfalls of a plan until it's actually in action.
Yeah,
we see the benefit, but we can't see what the shortfalls could be. So this is something that again, like, I know it's not the popular answer. The reason I know it's not the popular answer is because people have been told this dozens of times at this point.
Yeah,
but it's something we are increasingly aware of, and we are actively working to find an outcome for.
As a bit of just a pat on your back, Paul, our friend Dodi, who's from Indonesia, says, raise Paul's paycheck. Paul and us deserve more than that. He needs to be the new booker for the NWA. So,
well, I don't know about that, Dodi, but I do appreciate the support that comes from that I've been getting for the roles that I currently have. You know, the feedback that I've received in relation to changes currently to the NWA website, feedback as relates to the NWA magazine, those are things I'm directly responsible for. Those have all been overwhelmingly positive, and I'm very, very grateful for that kind of support.
Fiona says, I appreciate the response, but I feel like the lack of communication has been the real issue. And I kind of have to agree with her, Paul. Like, and again, this, I'm not asking for you to answer for all the shortcomings, you know, for the NWA, but it does feel like that lack of communication has kind of hurt. And maybe it's just because there wasn't a clear cut answer for the NWA to announce, but I mean, it just feels like, as a fan, as somebody watching, it does kind of feel like there hasn't been a lot of communication to the fan base. Like, again, we didn't even know that last week there would be a new episode until you literally announced it while you were on the show. So I do feel like
I literally didn't know that there was until I announced it on the show either. So,
our pal Steve G says, what happens to watch alongs and live chats on the CW? Well, I think I can feel this one because I did watch a couple of the programs on CW. I went back and watched the entire season of Power that was uploaded back in, I guess, I want to say December and or maybe November. And it's great, but there is no chat-alongs. There's no watch-alongs. There's no live chat. It's just like you'd watch any other program like on Netflix or on on Prime or anything else. There's no opportunity to chat with it. And again, that might be something for us live streamers to consider, you know, hey, maybe we all decide to watch it at one time.
That's a great opportunity. In corporate speak, what an opportunity this is. You know, Steve, this is where I'm going to not be speaking for the next several seconds as anyone affiliated directly with NWA. I'm going to be speaking other than speaking as a talent. Man, sometimes the toxicity levels in those live chats on YouTube was about more than I could take as a person who worked for the company. And that's on a personal level. That I'm not saying that that's our corporate perspective on this, but that was my perspective on it. I do feel bad for the sense of community that people were able to build in that chat space. Obviously, I am very compassionate and empathetic to that because I enjoy many, many of the people who participated in those chats. But overall, sometimes I wondered how so many good people got trapped in such a bad space. You know, that was my perspective on that. I would love to see places like the Alliance blog continue their, you know, they're providing a source for y'all to come together and chat about what you have watched. I would love for people, whether it's myself or others who stream NWA related content on Twitch and other places like that, to continue to provide a space for people to gather. In terms of the live chat for the premieres, that unfortunately is something that we'll have to reflect back on fondly for now.
Dumb question, not just because you said it now triggered in my brain. Is there any chance in the near, not too far future that maybe Poyo could cover like season one of NWA Power on Twitch? I think that would be very, very interesting. And like, I've haven't been to all of them, but I used to jump in on some of those Joe Kazana promotions that you would play and talk about on your live streams. That would be something that'd be very interesting that I think a lot of NWA fans could enjoy if you went back in time and did those live streams.
I think it'd be super fun. I actually don't know that there's anything necessarily that would prevent me from continuing to stream episodes of NWA Power via my Twitch. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not certain of that. I don't think that there's anything that would prevent me from doing that any differently than I would have been, you know, prevented from doing it when we were on YouTube. Yeah. And that's something that we continue to do every Tuesday. You know, like Tuesdays for me, on my Twitch, Tuesday is NWA day, and we'll usually stream the latest episode and then a classic or two classic episodes of NWA from back in the day. So those are still things I think that are available, and those might be workarounds. Even sadly, that might be the quickest workaround for some of our international fans.
Okay, so another dumb question for you, and maybe you can't answer this, but so we know that the deal is exclusivity with CW. Does that mean that there will be no more original wrestling content on YouTube? I know that this is the NWA podcast will continue to remain with Joe and Kyle and Danny, and of course our best friend Gary Horn. They'll be doing that every Monday still, I believe. But will there be any more content available on YouTube, or will it just be a place for that?
I don't have all the details of that. My strong suspicion is that there will continue to be original content on YouTube. I can say, after having worked as a producer backstage at this last round of television tapings, you know, there's always stuff that we film behind the scenes and tape behind the scenes in terms of like dark matches, things like that, that are not necessarily intended for inclusion in an upcoming episode of Power, but those could be increased so that we have original content that will go exclusively to YouTube. And those are all things that we could bubble up, you know, in terms of like, this is an idea that I bubble above me, and they bubble up and eventually gets to Billy. Billy, who's like three levels above me.
Well,
that last level is a real big level. You know what I mean? Like, but still, right.
For what it's worth, I was in Nashville for the tapings after the 75th. I know that there was a lot of content that appeared to be filmed I don't know, maybe the cameramen were shutting off and just mimicking, pantomiming the whole thing. But there was a lot of matches that were filmed but never released. And I get that they weren't regular characters with the brand. Maybe they were just testing things out. I understand all that. But I think that'd be something, again, to bubble up to the top. If you're taking suggestions, even a match or two just from dark matches and stuff, I think would help quench the thirst of the international audience. Plus, you know, again, watch Power on CW. It'd be a great way to continue advertising and pushing to the app. You know, I think that's the key word, pushing to the app.
And I also think that we will be presumably seeing content from our territories coming to our YouTube. These are just guesses. These, you know, remember, for those of you who are watching who want a like a broad spectrum kind of what my role is, I've got obviously key responsibilities, but I'm also you know, part of the brainstorming committee, basically. You know, I'm an idea person. So I'm like, what about this?
I just realized how pale I look in this light right now. And you're looking tan and everything. And I look like I'm not goth, I promise. I feel like it though, right? Like I look really
white. Jake on the goth.
Real quick, DKM, our good pal, he says, is WWE Raw on Netflix the best thing that could happen to the NWA on CW?
I don't have an answer for that, but what I will say is I think that having probably the most recognized name in weekly televised pro wrestling be available on an app does a great deal to legitimize any other wrestling product that's on an app. You know, there cannot be any longer the idea that for you to live up to the standards of a WWE Raw that you must be on televised broadcast network television. This is a situation where many companies, the National Wrestling Alliance included, will benefit in terms of people perceiving us to be of equal quality as other app-based products. So, you know, just on CW alone, there are two of us that are available on the CW app. One is WOW and one is NWA. And, you know, if we both feel a little bit more legitimized as a result of Raw going to Netflix, I don't think that's bad for either of us. I don't think it's bad for anybody.
And I do. I think the whole idea that it's being normalized, you know, you said it, the biggest brand in pro sports, pro wrestling, is now going to be, you know, that they've always said that Raw was the premier brand of
the flagship of all of professional wrestling.
Right. And when you think about it, like, let's just be clear on this. Netflix just paid $5 billion to have the rights to stream the WWE program for the next 10 years. That's kind of what the Saudi Arabia government paid to have those live events for the WWE. Let's also take into consideration that when Disney purchased the Star Wars, the Lucasfilms, I believe the price they paid was about $4 billion. So let's just put that into perspective. And I know, you know, the economy's constantly changing and evolving and all that, but for the right to have Raw on Netflix, Netflix paid more than what Disney paid to own Star Wars. If that doesn't speak to the volume of the popularity of pro wrestling, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I feel is going to be part of the continuing shift in of the landscape of what it means to be whether an entertainment company in and of itself. Like, you know, how many shows never got to go into existence because they couldn't get a broadcast spot, but now they might be able to get a place, could have gotten a place on Hulu or could have gotten a place on Netflix or any number of other streaming networks where people could tune in at their leisure. And you know, oh, one of the things I will tell you, and I know this for a fact, speaking of streaming, and it came into my head, and I want to put this out there before we forget. our products will not be dropping in entire seasons on the CW. You're going to be getting them 1 week at a time.
Which is, I think that's a super smart play. Like, I get it for a lot of us like that want to binge watch it, but I think, you know, if I watched one episode of Power and then waited next week and watched it and build that kind of ritual of watching it one episode a week, when it comes to that next signature live event, I'm going to be more excited about it as opposed to if they dropped all, you know, 2 week, like 2 months of episodes all at once and I binge it, then by the time the signature live event comes up, I might not even care anymore. It'll have been such a disconnect from when the episodes aired to getting to that signature live event. Everything is a build to that next SLE that they have to continue to tell that story to get us to keep coming back for more. And if they dump it all at once, it's like, okay, I'm done. You know, now I wait another like 2 months to find out what happens next. It's not good for storytelling.
There are possibilities, because we just had a call with the CW network last week and I got to sit in on that. And there were no like ground shaking revelations from that particular phone call. But one of the things that became very clear is that we will be dropping episodically week to week to week. So 52 weeks a year, ideally 52 weeks of content. And we might be seeing some of our back catalog of content show up for binging purposes.
Now, let me ask you another question. And we have a ton of more comments here and we'll get to you guys, I promise. But, you know, this is my show, so I'm going to ask some of the questions I want answers to. With that whole idea, has there been any discussion about increased taping dates? Like, as it's been with the NWA, it'll be 1 or 2 days of straight filming because it's probably more affordable to have all the talent there all at once, one it building is. All at once and filming all of that. Will there be more frequent tapings or will it continue to be the way it has been?
At this point, I've heard nothing of increased taping amounts. Remember, like we just did 2 days in Florida and we cranked out all of the content that will come to light between now and Hard Times 2024 in Dothan, Alabama on March 2nd. So between the beginning of January and the beginning of March, we've got, you know, it doesn't look like we've got anything else in the can in terms of dates to be taping. So it's going to be similar taping schedule. This is, for those who are not familiar, this is not unlike what Impact or Lucha Underground before us did. Many places do tapings on this type of schedule because it is the most economically feasible. You know, you pack as much time, work into a weekend. You don't have to fly talent in multiple days. It's very, very costly. I mean, you know, just for to have me there, we're talking a lot of money. And I'm on the low part of the, you know, the food chain in terms of pay. So for people who are much higher up, it's going to be a lot more to have them there.
You know, you have a fan club here. And it's not just Poyle, it's also Paul. Like, the people love you. Lamb says, Paul has such a great voice for commentary and documentaries, to be honest. If they do a documentary about the NWA, Paul should be the voice of it. So that's pretty cool.
I appreciate that because I'm sitting right here. I want to put out this. Today I had to pick up my inhaler and my antibiotics because I've got a respiratory infection. I have not been myself for like 3 weeks and I finally had a doctor's appointment today. So to know that I still sound decent, I appreciate that.
Gary said that a lot.
Say that again?
Gary had mentioned on the This Is the NWA podcast that a lot of folks came home a little under the weather from Florida.
We did. Luckily, it wasn't like a mass COVID outbreak, but I think that I'm sitting with my doctor today. I was like, look, I'm not really too concerned about this because about half of everybody I know has some kind of sinus issues right now or respiratory issues. And it's just a thing that's going around. So because of the fact that I can feel my sinuses all up here, super congested, and I've been downing DayQuil, like it's going out of style. I finally went to the doctor. They're like, we're going to get you on this inhalant, which will help your lungs. We're going to get you on these antibiotics, which will clear your sinuses. So I'll be up and kicking. They said in within 2 to 3 days, it should be mostly starting to get it under control. But thank you for that, Lam. I appreciate the compliments. I have a degree in broadcasting, which people don't know about. So, and real quick. I see her. That darn dirty no-gooder wasn't with us in Tampa. She was protesting something. And she was deeply missed. She was deeply missed in the 15 minutes that I would have had to share with her because I was running my brains out. But she was certainly missed in Tampa.
One of these days, I'm going to invite Pam to do the pre-party with me because, I mean, she's done everything else with the NWA. Might as well jump on one of our pre-parties.
I love embarrassing Pam. This is me getting to share a little behind the scenes things. You know, when I was putting together the NWA magazine initially, I went to Pam and I had this whole pitch for her. If you haven't seen it, if you're one of the viewers who are watching this and you haven't actually downloaded the NWA magazine, periodically Pam has a column in there and she's referred to as Superfan Pam. And she is. She's a super fan.
She is.
And I specifically went to her because she has such a unique perspective and on everything. And, you know, I love teasing her and embarrassing her. And so I'm very observant. So I'll spot little things that are happening and I'll like sneak photos that she doesn't know are happening. And I'll just text them to her. And she's like, oh my God, I love her so much.
Pam is great. I got to meet Pam. Finally, I met Pam at 75, but like we've been at so many shows together. And it's again, like I'm a little socially awkward too. Like I don't like to go out and just, you know, hey, it's J-Cal. How's it going? I'm very introverted here on the podcast, but in real life, that's not me. So like I was, hey, Pam, but like she was there in Mexico. I didn't bother her. I think I saw Pam even at the inaugural TV tapings, I think. And if not the inaugural, then pretty much everyone since then, because every time I've ever been at an NWA event, Pam has been there too. So
look, I was not on that trip to Mexico, but
which is bullshit, by the way.
If my sources are correct, I heard that it's a good thing you didn't bother Pam because according to my sources, she was drunker than the worm at the bottom of a tequila. So the whole time, that's what I got to say about that, Pam.
Carrie Morton too. So that's another story for another time.
That's a pretty commonplace thing for the road. Okay, y'all, I have to tell you, this star, I'm a huge Wonder Woman fan, in case people haven't noticed by all the tattoos I have. And this star is supposed to be perfectly placed in the middle of my head so that I look like I'm wearing Wonder Woman's swim cap. And the fact that I'm able to see myself while doing this and it gets off center makes me crazy.
I feel the same way. And that's kind of why I like sitting at an angle, because like my big head and the hat always seem to bounce off of each other. So let's get back to the question, then I'll keep going forward. Chris Drummond says, could the website start adding the territory dates on the official page?
That is something that will be happening, Chris. And I can't even pawn that off on anybody else. That's my responsibility. And we're going to be doing, we're going to be making a few more updates as relates to our territories. When you specifically are asking, and this is going to take forever to get this answer, but when we're asking about the territory dates, I think you're talking about the live event dates for Joe Cassandra Promotions and Exodus Pro. We will be having, I mean, we have historically had some of those posts on the website. We haven't had them in a good little bit because we were heading into our SLE, the Signature Live event. They sort of fall on top of that. I don't know that we'll have all of those territory dates available on the website, but we will be working towards getting some results from those, as well as presumably, you know, some of those upcoming events with our territories are going to be co-promoted as well, and that will always end up on the site. Good call out, Chris.
See, and Chris calls himself the villain, but like what people don't know is he is definitely a diehard NWA fan. And although like his tastes range from everything from AEW, New Japan, his heart still belongs to the NWA. We go back to, you know, the early 2000s on the old NWA message board. That's how long we have been at it. So he's a good guy. I like him a lot.
My idea of what a villain is are people who spend time in the chat who have very, very little positive to say about the product, who have horrible things to say about talent who are busting their ass, and who have limited suggestions that could improve things. Those to me are villains. You know, because they are basically just disruptors. And I could name some people, but I'm not going to. but let me just say this. There was a long list of them on those YouTube chats that I had blocked because they had nothing positive to contribute. So, Chris, I don't want to upset the apple cart and tell you that your tagline of the villain doesn't necessarily apply in my eyes. But when the individuals come to me with things that are catches that they've seen, like, hey, this could be improved upon, and they offer a suggestion for a solution, that is not the same as somebody who just constantly complains.
Agreed. Our pal Dave Scooby, who you might know from the Other Line guys, says that maybe do a control center type show that has highlights of NWA champions out on the indies and maybe wrestler rankings, as well as advertised upcoming events and tapings. I mean, I know that's a full-time job for somebody, but I think that would be pretty incredible if you're taking suggestions.
I want to tell you, Dave Scooby, the funny thing about this particular suggestion. So we were in the WEDU studios, which is the famous, very famous PBS station studios where Florida Championship Wrestling taped for generations in Tampa. That's where we did our last round of television tapings in Tampa. And we were doing the backstage interviews, you know, with Mae Valentine. And we had a room set aside for that. So we were filming on one side, and on the flip side of the room was this gorgeous, gorgeous set. And in the middle of it was like kind of like a ESPN type of set where there's like sort of like a pseudo round table with seats around it and big, beautiful backdrops that it was called Florida This Week or Florida This Morning or something. And I looked at Joe Galley and I was like, hey, Joe, what if we filmed amazing, this is NWA This Week shit at this set, you know? And Joe's like, man, if only we had time. Really, what it comes down to, honestly, is if we had time. When we're at these, what you're talking about is such an incredible idea. And I think most of us would love to turn Monday's, you know, live stream that we do every week on the NWA Extra, we would love to turn that into exactly something like you're talking about, like I'm talking about, where we're sitting at a table and we're like, you know, kind of really hashing it out. That is something that unfortunately a far better financial situation than we're presented with in terms of like what we have to spend on budget. We're not in dire straits. I don't want to make it sound like that, but that's a lot of money to quality produce something like that. And I think we would all love it if it was only possible and we only had the time.
I think when the whole idea that, okay, now we're on CW, obviously there's a higher ROI than what you were getting on YouTube. We know that because there's upgrades to the set. I mean, I've seen more and more talent announce that they've signed or are a part of the NWA. I mean, obviously, there's going to be growing pains on both sides of it, but I feel like financially, and I don't know anything, right? I'm not in those boardrooms, and I haven't seen any financials, but I imagine that the ROI working with CW is going to be much higher than what it was with YouTube. And if there is a the only thing that I could say about the pay-per-views, and I know I'll get to that in a second, but if the NWA walked away from making pay-per-views to signature live events, I'm sure there was a financial incentive to do so. But that's something that Pam asked about, was how does everyone feel about the move away from pay-per-views? Paul, I know you can't answer like specifics, but am I right? Was there a financial reason to leave pay-per-views?
Well, again, this is something I don't have concrete information. What you're hearing from me is what I've gleaned from experience, not coming directly from anybody above me, certainly not coming from William Patrick Corgan.
Yeah.
What I can tell people is that the broadcast truck alone to film and broadcast a pay-per-view event costs $100,000. $100,000. So if you are a WWE, that's nothing, because they own that truck. In fact, they probably own five of those trucks. When you are talking about the National Wrestling Alliance, we presumably rent that truck. I don't know that, but I can say for a fact we don't own it. So that was something I think that we probably moved away from, just because can you imagine how many pay-per-views you have to sell to make back $100,000 for a truck?
Yeah.
So with that in mind, like I think that there was a financial reason. The other thing I do think is that this signature live event that we did in Fort Lauderdale, in the past, that would have presumably been a pay-per-view event.
Yeah.
And that it was incredible. It was top to bottom. That event was incredible. I will tell people that up front. And the beautiful part about it is, guess what? You're going to see it incorporated into episodes of NWA Power. So you are going to get that quality of broadcast material every week. And something I may not have shared in the past, but, you know, WPC William Patrick Corgan told our entire team that we are going to a new platform. We are upping the ante for the way we are presenting our materials, the way it looks, the way it's being received, have all been taken to the next notch. And everyone's match output is expected to follow suit. You know, like we are going to see an increased quality. There's a difference between sort of like a television quality and a pay-per-view quality.
Right.
And the expectation now, I think, for everyone is that we will always turn out pay-per-view quality matches.
I mean, just like, and again, going back to the WWE, there's a huge difference between watching the Monday Night Raw episode and watching the Royal Rumble this weekend. There's a huge difference in the match quality. There's a huge difference in the Impact style of wrestling. So, I mean, if what... what you're saying is that the wrestling will be improved, you know, which I think the wrestling's always been pretty good, you know, if I say so myself, but
yeah,
I mean,
that's but the pretty... intensity and the intention, right? Yeah. Like that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the intensity of a pay-per-view match. We're looking for the intention of a pay-per-view match. And I think that our talent are ready to turn it out. We realize that this is, you know, we're taking the next major step forward with the company. And everybody is there to make sure that we hit that mark.
There's a ton of comments still here in the chat. So, guys, hang with us. We're going to try to get to all of them. Paul, are you pressed for time? Are you able to hang out with us for a little bit longer?
I'm able to hang out with y'all.
All right. Then we might go. Well, tell the affiliates we're going long today. James H. Jackson says, with the champions in the NWA now defending a lot more on the indies and territories, how do you not spoil results with the taping schedule as it is?
I mean, yeah, that's a great question, James. It's a challenge that we're always going to face. It's the challenge that everybody faces. You know, like we have kept under wraps, for example, the outcomes of our most recent premium live event. But if you see so-and-so on the indies somewhere defending their title and we haven't revealed that they did or did not retain, that's a different story. I don't think we have an answer for that other than to say that that is an age-old problem. The difference now between now and 50 years ago is that there's the internet.
Yeah. I haven't... the day it happened, I kind of looked for results, and I told you, everyone was stiff-lipped. No one was saying anything, which I think is incredible. Speaks volumes about the character of the people in the audience. Or maybe they're just not internet savvy. I don't know, but I couldn't even find pictures from the event. But I know that stuff did get leaked a little bit later. I don't know that there's any place you could go looking for like full results. And I think that's kind of nice for the audience who doesn't want things to be spoiled. It's difficult in this day and age to have any sporting event without it being spoiled, because as soon as the baseball game's over, you know, the article's up on ESPN. But now in this time and space we're in, you have EC3 still defending the title of upcoming events. And then, you know, obviously we're not talking about it because, the result between him and Matt Cardona hasn't happened on television yet. So it's going to always be one of those things. And of course, cards subject to change. That's always on every single wrestling event. And if it's not, it should be, because you never know what's going to happen. But, I recently saw Joe Kazana Promotions advertising our world television champion Mims, and, you know, bearing the result of what happens in Florida, he will still be champion when he goes to Joe Kazana Promotions, or he will not be champion bearing what happens from Florida. So I guess needless to say, it is what it is, and there's not really a better way to do it. So it kind of just, you have to live with it, right?
And I agree with that. You know, at the same time, this is me being just a wrestling fan. You know, my friends that work for Impact just had a big weekend, the same weekend that we did. They just had some great television tapings in Orlando this past weekend. Did I go read the spoilers? Absolutely. Will I still tune in to watch the show because I want to see how it plays out? Yes, I will. The other thing that I can tell you, this is something that I can say with 100% certainty, and someone like Pam, who is in the audience, can actually attest to from the flip side, which I've been on many times, going to one of our television tapings and watching what actually happens in the studio at the tapings, you might know the match results or what the outcome, but it is not until you're listening to it and watching it with the audio from what the announcers are saying and what's actually happening, like, you know, what you're hearing being said about it, it may make zero sense. I've been to multiple tapings for NWA as a talent and literally had no idea what was going on. It wasn't until I had been there in some capacity that was outside of just filling my particular role that I was like, oh, okay. So now I know what story is being told out. I can promise you, I can 100% guarantee that people who were at our show on the Sunday TV taping in Tampa have zero idea what they watched play out. I know because I know the stories, but they would have no clue whatsoever what they're actually watching, which is a beautiful thing.
With that being said, I was in the audience again for the TV tapings, and you certainly get a better feel for what's happening. But when you see it on TV with the commentary and what's kind of being built up, everything makes a little bit more sense. And obviously there's a way that you shoot it and you're still producing a story with the vignettes in the back and everything else. So I get it. I hear what you're saying. And I'm telling you
right now, like you can watch two people, you can be sitting in the audience and you see this person is facing this person and maybe it's you're getting to watch the match, but what if there's a stipulation? What if there's something riding on that victory, or you don't know? And those are the things that make it truly interesting.
Our pal KM says, shifting gears a little, why doesn't the NWA want to show that audience on the studio tapings?
I don't have an answer for that. I do know that I don't think there's a reason we haven't wanted to show the audience. I do think that the tapings you went to, J. Cal, were in the Nashville studios.
Yeah,
and
anyway.
So the audience there was multiple rows, like 150 deep, but they were just at the back of the room. Yeah. And that's because of the way that particular venue is set up. The setup, and oh my God, the new, y'all, I'm just going to tell you, for those of you who are going to tune in February 6th for the first episode of Power on the CW Network app, you're going to see something entirely new. It is like, I'm sure that there's probably photos of it that are floating around already, but I was blown away. Remember, this is my second set of TV tapings in the same space. And when I walked in there, it was like walking into a different world. It is so different. It is so amazing looking. And you get to see the audience, all of these things, all the things.
And that's the actual studio. That's not the signature live event.
Right. So when we get to the point where we get to the studio taping, the studio looks so frigging good. It looks so good. The talent was like, we were standing and like all of us were like, come in here, you gotta see this. You've gotta see this. That's how exciting it was. We were like dragging each other into the studio, be like, and then we would walk in and we'd be like, it looks so good.
So will you guys be filming, I guess, more exclusively in that studio, or where will you be? Is it going to continue to kind of be like a carousel of studios that you use? Like, will you be back at Skyway? Will you be back in Chicago at some point, or is this the home for tapings now?
I think that from what I understood, I think that we'll be back in Tampa a fair deal. Number one, I think that I can't speak to this, but my impression is that we very much like being in the historic Florida Championship Wrestling studio. Yeah. Number one. And number two, I know that, you know, we have invested in a set that is built for that studio, pretty much, I'm going to guess. Yeah. I bet it could be applied elsewhere, but it is very kind of in tune to that space. And I think that they also offer us the opportunity to store our belongings there. So I do think that that's going to be, and we have a huge, just like there's a benefit of filming in Nashville because there's a huge amount of our talent that lives there. There's a huge amount of our talent that lives in Florida. So both of those are pretty good for us. I do think that we will be probably potentially, again, this is something I can't speak to because I don't really know the answer, but I would guess that whenever we have one of our signature live events, there's a possibility that we would find a local television studio or something to that effect to get us, you know, through that. But it's also possible that we could do, you know, a signature live event someplace like Dothan and then record enough content through that signature live event that it could put us, you know, back in Tampa 5 weeks later or something like that.
Yeah, and I feel like that that seems like to be honest, it's a smart business decision. The studio in Tampa, from what I've heard and what you just explained, sounds beautiful. But meantime, like flying back and forth to Florida, even though a lot of the talent might live there, it's still like it's pricey, and it's still a business. I know it's Billy still would like to make money doing this and not just, you know, spend it all on transportation costs. Let me get to some more comments. This is just a positive comment. And James and I are sharing the same brain on this one. For me, as a fan of the signature live events, the pay-per-view quality matches for free on an app that has no sign-up. That's a win for, again, fans stateside. Of course, we talked about the what the international audience can expect for the time being. There's no real update yet, but hopefully that's something that comes to it sooner than later. Mike Media M5, we call him Demonetized Mike here on this channel. Right, and EC3 is on podcasts with people trolling him as current NWA, or introducing him as current NWA.
Trolling him.
Well, I'm sorry. He had a
And you know what? Like, what a distinction that is. I can't speak highly enough of EC3's desire and drive to represent the National Wrestling Alliance and his making himself available to speak on podcasts, to go on places and represent us. And that's something that, you know, we have been in dire need of for quite some time.
Can you put in a good word for me? Because he didn't have time for me when I asked him last time. Polka Dot Pam says 100%. You need the commentary and the backstage interviews for context. Many times I've asked my talent friends for clarity after a taping.
And many times her talent friends have been like, I don't know. Girl, what ask me. I just show up and do my job.
Hey, Gary, what happened here? Jay, I don't know, man. I was busy. Fair enough.
I mean, I thank God I had that headset and I got to sit in on all of my talent meetings beforehand, because otherwise I'd had zero idea what happened to this last round of tapings.
Our pal Doty says, until I can see someone like Kratos or Wrecking Ball more times in power episodes than Rolando or Gags, and less of triple threat or intergender tag nonsense, that's what I consider to be new. And I think that's in regards to the higher quality of matches. And what I'd say to Doty, and you could take your own point to it, Paul, but I just think they're trying to step to that next level now. And, you know, if the matches are going to improve, they're going to improve every step of the way. If you're not a fan of intergender wrestling, you know, we know going into the Signature Live event that's going to debut on February 6th, at some point we're going to have our women's television champion, Max the Impaler, take on our world television champion, men's champion, Mims. And at whoever wins that match is going to be responsible for defending both titles. So we're going to have to find out what's going to happen next. So if you're not a fan of intergender wrestling, there's always the fast forward button. You know,
Doty, I'm not going to give you too many spoilers, but if you are, if you're against Gags and Rolando and intergender, I think there's going to be ample things to tide you over on these episodes. But I think that we're definitely seeing a new era of what we present on NWA. And I personally am not against what we're starting to see, because NWA still is steeped in tradition, but we are becoming more of a buffet of options for you. Like, I will tell you, I am obviously a huge fan of the historic roots of the National Wrestling Alliance. But I sometimes stream, you know, these old 1985, 86, and by sometimes I mean every Tuesday, stream these old 1985, 86 episodes of Georgia Championship Wrestling. And it feels like I'm watching the same match over and over and over. So as much as I love that historically, I think I've become attuned to getting some variety in professional wrestling right now. And we can still appeal to people who love that history, but also give them, you know, servings of something that's a little more current in what's happening in the world today. And as a character fall into that category, I'm not mad about it.
As a side note, have you ever went back and watched the California Championship Wrestling from like the mid 80s to early 90s?
I haven't. I'll have to find it.
It's awful. You'll love it. Doty also says Florida Championship Wrestling Studios. Can we see Power doing tapings at the former Tampa Sportatorium? That place is so tiny, but still has a legendary venue.
I don't foresee us doing the Tampa Sportatorium offhand. That's something that hasn't come up in any conversations. But we are doing our tapings at the WEDU PBS studio in Tampa, which is where the studio tapings of Florida Championship Wrestling were filmed.
More comments. My pal Tredukis, who always gives me a hard time, says, with there being no sign up for the app and the fact that the programming is free, already shows that the NWA is doing better than the NFL in the app department. I dislike the fact that the app is not a worldwide app. It does alienate some of the audience. To Paul's credit, to the NWA's credit, they're trying to work around that, but it's a process that's still going to take time, and hopefully it's sooner than later. But as somebody who is going to benefit from it, again, you know, like Paul said, I watch a lot of stuff on my phone. You know, I can just jump on here and now I can literally watch the NWA on my phone. I can go to the gym, watch it on the on my phone. I mean, you can do that with YouTube as well. But I mean,
when you were watching on the app, did you notice the quality difference in terms of
I don't know if it's something with my eyesight. I don't know if it's me because my eyes aren't great, but when you said that, I was like, huh, I don't recall it looking as vibrant or better than what I saw. But I will always preface that by saying I don't have the best eyesight anyways.
I just thought it looked so much crisper and so much more vibrant on the CW app. So, yeah, I mean, that is something that to me was a huge benefit in its own right.
Our pal, our pal Rick Del Santo says, hey, I love that California Championship Wrestling. Why? Why do you love that? Sean Mega says, I noticed the difference.
Yeah, you can definitely see the difference, Sean Mega.
Let's see. I skipped Chris's question, but I think this is another good one. Will the World League Wrestling and NWA show be a power taping?
I don't have an answer for that. I'm not trying to blow that off. I just don't have an answer.
Tredekus goes, honestly, intergender matches are fine as long as there isn't a huge size difference. Like, Max is very believable to kick anyone's ass and really wish they would have kicked the tires. Sorry, I didn't read the whole statement. Let me rephrase that. I think a lot of us were happy to see EC3 win the title.
I'd have personally paid to see Max and Tyrus one-on-one.
That would have, I don't claim to be some sort of insider, Paul. I don't have, you're my connection. You know, I know you, that's about it. I know you and Gary. I don't have all the inside info or anything else like that. But I know from other people that Max is kind of a beast, and an angry Max is really, like, it's not just what you see on TV, folks. Like, I don't think Max in real life grunts while they walk to the grocery store, but I think if someone approached Max and wanted to have a fight, that they would really not be happy with the end result.
Look, Max is one of my favorite people just in general. That's a blanket statement. Max is one of my favorite people. I'm not a small person and I'm not a scared person, but I'm not going to piss off Max. I'll just say that. And Max doesn't have two bad knees. So that.
Showgrain TV says signature event quality matches on the free streaming platform reminds me of World Class. While other territories weren't airing main cards, WCCW was airing just about everything. And I think that's going to be where they have an opportunity to excel. There's a lot of wrestling programs out there, but if the NWA, like you said, Paul, are able to put on more intense matches, and we're going to see pay-per-view style matches on a free broadcast, I think that's going to be a huge win for the NWA, and especially when the market is so competitive. And I mean,
it is.
You look at just on the top, you've got the WWE, you've got AEW, you've got TNA Wrestling, you've got the NWA, you've got MLW, you've got, and that's not including Ring of Honor, but then you've got New Japan. It's accessible through Access or New Japan World. You've got the United Wrestling Network that's available in a lot of markets. And then there's so many independents out there that, again, you could see via streaming apps like Fight TV or IWTV. So, like, there is so many avenues for people to watch wrestling. And like you had mentioned, it's a buffet. You can find any kind of wrestling that you want. But I think where the NWA has an opportunity to kind of stand up and take a different approach by putting on some of those, again, for free. those more intense, more a better variety of wrestling, I think. And I think that's going to be good for it.
You know, I try not to ever really compare us to anybody else. You know, we right. can't, there's no reason to that, to do that. And frequently it's a no win because other places are bigger. Other places have deeper pockets. Other places have a wider roster. They're better distribution, whatever they want to, they, you know, whatever they want to use as a metric to make themselves appear better than us. What I do is look at what the NWA is putting out now, and I do believe that it's better than what we were putting out 6 months ago. And so I compare us against ourselves, and that to me says that we are growing and we're moving in the right direction. Those are the things that, those are the kind of things that I compare myself on. Like, I don't compare myself and my success to other people's success. I compare myself to myself. And, you know, my 2024 is already starting out better than my 2023. And my 2023 was pretty lit. So I'm pretty good with the idea that this year is going to track better. NWA's 2023 was very good. I think that NWA's 2024 is going to be that much better.
As somebody who's followed the NWA for a very long time and watching, you know, the hills and valleys, the peaks and plateaus of the NWA, and knowing that, you know, 2023 was probably the most active year that Billy has had as NWA owner. You know, that we saw the titles travel to Mexico. We saw the titles travel to Australia. There were more live events than ever before. I mean, that's, that in and of itself is incredible. Not just TV tapings, but actual live wrestling events. The NWA certainly has taken a step forward in 2023, and I don't think there's any turning back now. I don't think, you know, that there's any you know, right turn off this trip. I think it's, you know, above and beyond. It's keep moving forward, and I feel like, you know, it's already off to a good start. I mean, so many tapings already happened in January. So many events have already happened, and you know, we've got. The of course, with the affiliates, there's more shows happening this weekend. There'll be more shows happening next month. And then, not this weekend, next weekend, excuse me. And then, of course, you know, before you know it, the new season of Power is going to air on CW. It just feels like there's a lot of, again, positive momentum for the NWA.
And I want to remind people that in 2022, Billy Corgan said in 2023, you're going to see more travel, more touring, more live events from the NWA. People questioned that. People thought, you know, people second guessed that. And I think that hands down, whether it turned out in a way that was expected by them or the coupling of NWA touring with the Smashing Pumpkins and going on this global type of tour, it doesn't matter how it came to fruition. It came to fruition. Billy made good on what he said he was going to present to the fans. And we got to see it actually come to life in front of us.
Here's another one that you might not be able to answer, but you know, because the Rumble's this weekend and we're on the road to WrestleMania, obviously all eyes are focused on Philadelphia. Our boy Chris Drummond says, okay, on the Monday podcast, they teased Philadelphia. So Mania is there. Is there a chance that there'll be some NWA representation at Mania weekend? Is that anything that you've heard about, or is that anything you can discuss?
Let me just say that I'm going to be in Philadelphia for Mania weekend with the Collective, which is GCW. Yeah. I will be there hosting Effie's Big Gay Brunch 9. That's a given. What I will tell you, that I know for a fact, NWA and the City of Brotherly Love could, see a partnership very soon. I do not think, that it's going to be during Mania weekend. I think that fans in Philadelphia should be on the lookout for NWA in 2024, though.
Traducka says, some of the stuff I've seen on IWTV, I wish I never seen. But glad that there's other platforms for promotions to showcase their events for better or for worse. Southern California, I mean, we've been known for multiple promotions. There's Lucha Vavoom, which is very popular. There was UPW, that was a Southern California affiliate of the WWE at one point. XPW is a very big promotion that has roots here in California that goes back and forth between Philly and Cali. And I went to one XPW event and I would never go to another one. And that's my taste, you know. And even when Camille and Tom were at XPW, it's like, it's a pass. Mecha Wolf is working for them. I'm like, I'll go to TJ. Paul, I'll go to TJ. I'll get my passport out. I'll cross the border to see Mecha Wolf wrestle. I won't go to Chatsworth to see an XPW show.
Well, maybe you can come to Chatsworth to see me on February 29th, because I'll be there on February 29th. But at the same time, XPW, the one thing I will say positive for XPW, they had at least one very good match between Taya and Camille before Taya came to NWA to challenge Camille.
Look, I'm not saying that they don't have some good quality. Like I get hazed by this all the time, but I thought Joey Chaos was great. I used to enjoy Vampiro's work there as well, but I would not go buy a ticket because I did not want to see deathmatch wrestling. You know what I mean?
Understandable. It's understandable.
Sean Mega says, "Hey Poyle, who do you consider to be the main eventers on the men's side?"
Of the National Wrestling Alliance, I would say our main event wrestlers, our main event players at this time, EC3, Cardona, whenever he's with us, Silas, Tom Latimer. I would throw, I think that it's very, very easy to float Jax Dane into that category. So those are the people that come to mind right away.
This one's a good question from Traducus, and I think I could probably answer just as easy as you could, Paul, but it says, honestly, who was the last champion to travel outside the USA, Canada, before Billy Corgan bought the company? Rob Conway? Well, yeah, Conway definitely was one of these guys who took the title to Wrestle Kingdom. You have to give praise to Rob Conway for being the right place at the right time with the right look. And was able to work with New Japan quite regularly. In fact, him and Jack Stane took the tag titles there as well. In terms of taking titles international, we know that Tim Storm took the titles to Japan. Took it once, was supposed to take it again, and then of course Billy bought the NWA, so that changed things quite significantly. But yeah, I mean, Tim Storm took the title to Japan. It was a smaller promotion. It wasn't New Japan. It was like called Dragon Star or something like that. It was a smaller indie, but still, I mean, the fact that you can't deny the fact that when the 10 pounds of gold is suited in another territory, another country, another part of the world, I mean, I think that shows just how the affinity for that title that the wrestling community has, not just here in the US, but in Japan and in Canada and the UK, where we've seen, you know, a lot of champions in the last few years. And even before, like, you have to give credit to Adam Pearce for taking that title to Canada, to Mexico, to Europe, to Japan. You have to take Blue Demon Jr., who also took the title to Canada, to obviously Mexico, but to the UK, to Italy, to Japan. I mean, you have to recognize those guys. Even though I don't care for them, you have to give credit to the Sheik for being able to take the title to Japan. And before I forget, too, Tokyo Monster Cahagas was the last NWA World Champion to defend in the Dominican Republic. So again, these are all admirable champions that did international defenses. But obviously, to the extent of what Nick Aldis did, is still kind of the standard bearer for the NWA. Yep. And I think you can only hope that EC3 is on that path. I know he missed his title defense in Canada over the weekend. Our own Tim Gold, Alliance Gold, missed out on that. It was kind of bummed, but enjoyed the show nonetheless. And I know the EC3 in the past has made right for those title defenses that he's missed. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see EC3 in Canada soon. And I believe he has
defended out here this past weekend. He was supposed to defend out here as well, but due to some injuries was unable to.
Yeah. So I as much as I'm a huge Adam Pearce guy, and people will know that I say that Nick Aldis's run as World's Heavyweight Champion, his first run as champion, is like unmatched in this modern day. I really feel like EC3 has all the right tools to surpass what Nick Aldis did, and that's saying a lot. That's That's like hand on heart. That's a great, if you could top what Nick Aldis did in that first run, that's remarkable. So
I think it goes beyond having the tools. I think it has to do a lot with the drive and motivation. Like he has the desire, because there are people, and this isn't specific to anybody in the NWA roster, but I've far too often encountered people who are just content with being rather than, you know, building upon. And EC3 definitely wants to build upon the legacy that we have.
Tredekus thinks that maybe MTV might have been the better home for the NWA than CW. Look, I'm all for...
we'd have loved it.
A revision of the rock and wrestling from yesteryear, especially if... what's that actor's name? Dirk Bennett, I think was his name. Never mind. We'll keep moving forward. Lamb says, we have too many in SoCal, but good for all the talents. I think he means promotions.
Yeah, but that's a great opportunity for any of us who want to travel.
Yeah. Doty says, I just wish the NWA would never leave the Chase at St. Louis, and we'll keep visiting them. It's the mecca of the NWA. Any word yet? Do we know if we're going back to St. Louis for the anniversary, or is that to be determined? To be determined. All right, let's keep moving forward.
I can't say.
No, that's that. And look, we appreciate you being here. I know that there's going to be shit.
Hey, look at what James says.
Yeah. Well, so there you go.
Let that coincide with the previous question.
There you go. Meanwhile, Chris Adonis being a traveling champion all over the world for the Stu Hart title. Yeah, like, look, and I know Pam is feeling sad. Chris Adonis is a great talent. I'm not taking one thing away from him. In fact, the Alliance guys have always thought that, you know, Adonis and a Pollo partnership would be chef's kiss. But until that happens, I just want to see Adonis keep working, man. I want to see him, you know, being able to take care of himself and get out there and wrestle everywhere he can go. Maybe at some point he will return to the NWA. Maybe he won't, but, I don't begrudge that guy at all. And if at some point the stars align and we see him back in the NWA, everything he's doing right now just makes him more credible if he ever comes back to the National Wrestling Alliance.
Chris is such a top-notch guy, such a nice, nice person.
He's a SoCal guy, so there it is. Tredeka says, oh, wow, that's Poyle. Holy crap, didn't realize the manager of champions is there. Totally starstruck. Look at that. Thank you for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com, the premier source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. Would you consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode? You can follow us on all social media at the Alliance Blog, and we stream live on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern at the Alliance Blog. Until then, we are the Alliance.